Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And this is, Sid, I think it's fair to say, a very special episode of The Bones.
I've been thinking
about calling it The Bones.
No, not good.
Not loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. You're lukewarm on it.
Mm-hmm. Just Sawbones. I mean, like, you realize you're not losing any syllables. By saying The Bones. It's Sawbones.
It's Max Fun Drive. It is the 2019 Max Fun Drive, the time that we come to you once a year and say, hey, if you've enjoyed what you've heard in our show, please consider supporting it financially.
Yes, become a member of our Maximum Fun family with a monthly donation to our show.
It's
all of our shows.
Your donations,
collectively, all the shows that you enjoy.
Your donations over the years, in addition to feeding and clothing us and putting a roof over our heads, have also allowed us to allowed Sid to spend more time on the show. They allow us to improve our equipment and help us pay for hosting and music and all that good stuff,
which has allowed us to do other things that we hope, if you're listeners of the show, you also enjoy, like write our book.
Yes, absolutely.
And tour more, do more live shows, go out there and, you know, because I'm not at work.
We'll talk more about it in the middle of the show. But the real quick pitch is this. There's donation levels from $5 a month all the way up to $200 a month. If you're an eccentric millionaire that loves to toss around their cash on podcasts, we appreciate that. If you go to MaximumFund.org/donate, I just want to tell you real quick about a couple of membership levels. At $5 a month, you're going to get hundreds of hours, over 225 hours, I think, of bonus content from all of the Max Fun shows from all the years. The whole archive will be open to you. At $10 a month, there is a you get to choose a pin in addition to all the bonus content. $10 a month, you get a pin, and the one for Sawbones is super cool. It says Pro-Vax on it. It looks awesome. It's designed by Megan Lincott. You can pick your favorite, but you should probably pick that one.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, folks. It's the best.
It's the best.
And your donation goes directly to the shows that you listen to. About 75% of it goes directly to creators who you say you listen to their shows. You choose the shows you like, and that's who gets the money. So
please choose our show if you're listening.
Yes,
please. You're a listener.
Because you're a listener. If you're listening to this, you're listening.
Yeah, by default, you're a listener.
MaximumFund.org/donate. And now on with the show.
So this is a joint effort this week.
Yes, it's a crossover event.
It is.
Not like armchair expert and goop, Dax Shepard. Very disappointed in you, Dax.
What?
Yes, Dax did a crossover episode with Goop. I just saw it on iTunes.
Oh, no.
Such a disappointment, Dax.
I love Dax.
I'm very disappointed in you, Dax.
No.
Very disappointed. Don't elevate anti-science loons.
No. Anyway. Also, if you work for Delta.
You have the Goop podcast.
You have a selection of podcasts that people can listen to, and some are quite good. Like Dr. Death is on there. Yeah, some are quite good. But then also Goop is on there.
Why are you spreading
that misinformation, that anti-science junk your planes?
This is a cross. We're so bad at pledge drive episodes. We just get angry and start complaining about anti-science people. Anyway, this is a crossover episode with Schmanners.
Yes.
A podcast about etiquette, created by Teresa McElroy and her husband, Trevor or something. We are talking this week about heartbreak. Why? Well, if you listen to our show and don't donate, it breaks our heart.
Is that your...
That's my thing. That's what thing. I'm going with.
If you also, Travis texted us and said, hey, this is what we want to do. And I said, that would be a good episode of Sawbones 2. And good idea.
And also, it breaks our heart when you don't donate. Let me have my theme. Okay, let me have a theme.
You had a look on your face like, I know this is dumb, but I'm going to try to go with it.
I've never had that look on my face in my entire life.
Oh, that look is on your face like 50% of the time we're recording.
Sydney, unless I am confused, I don't think having a broken heart is a medical condition, right?
Well, actually, Justin, there is something called broken heart syndrome. I'm not going to answer that question directly because, like, your heart isn't, I don't know, like, it didn't physically, like, it's not broken in half the way that we picture a broken heart.
Yeah, you could almost say that I was trying to open a door for you to introduce the topic and discuss it rather than correct.
Did you see I put a quote from The Wizard of Oz in the notes? Because it's a crossover with Travis and Teresa, and Teresa loves The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that's nice.
You can read it if you want.
I'm opening it as we speak.
Oh, you don't have the notes?
I was so mad about Dax.
That's where your pledge break is.
I was so mad about Dax.
Hearts will never be made practical until they are made unbreakable.
Wizard of Oz. Yeah. Now, if enough force, first you have to freeze it, a heart, like Sub-Zero. And then one punch, I imagine, can shatter a heart once you're in that state. Is that what we're discussing today?
No, that is not what we're discussing. You've heard the phrase that someone died of a broken heart.
Yes.
And most of the time that's more of like a euphemistic kind of thing. Like they didn't literally have some sort of cardiac event that led to their death. But could you conceivably die of a broken heart? Science says yes. And we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
Now, before I get into what the actual cardiac syndrome that is sometimes colloquially. I hate saying that word.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
It's a hard one.
Colloquially.
I have a problem saying
colloquially. You sound like Dr. Zoidberg.
Colloquially. Anyway, that in layman's terms, it's sometimes
terms.
Called broken heart syndrome. Before we get into that, we've had ancient remedies, a lot of them like herbal or folk remedies for a broken heart, things that you supposedly could do to help you get through a broken heart, which I think is interesting that we tried to come up with substances to.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
can feel like a, like any kind of intense emotional thing like that can feel physical, right? Like I could see
that's
how
true.
you would think that it would be, you know, you get that the pit of your stomach ache and the, you know, the feeling like crap all over your body, flu like.
Yeah, but
lethargy.
But these remedies are aimed specifically at getting through the broken heart. So, I mean, like it's with a knowledge that it's not a necessarily physical in origin, that it is an emotional thing, which I guess maybe they are sort of overtures, like old without knowing overtures at trying to help with maybe mental illness or maybe just what we would call more like a grief reaction, that kind of thing. And some of that can be like a normal grief reaction. It's not necessarily pathologic. If something bad happens, you should feel sad and cry. That's normal. But anyway, some of these have been like balm of Gilead buds are popular.
Sounds romantic.
You hold them close to your heart. You can put them under your pillow. I don't know what that would do, but it does. Maybe like a Dumbo and feather kind of thing.
Yeah, right? Sure.
Yeah. You could carry around some dried amaranth. That's been known. One of my favorite was drink a wine glass of tomato juice 3 times a day.
I mean, it sounds healthy.
Not for me, like the reflux from that.
Yeah, that would give you take you from broken heart to heartburn.
Hey, there you go.
It's not helping anything.
Proud of that one.
I'm 50-50, honestly.
There's some herbs like cyclamen was one I found that will like...
cyclamen, notorious Doctor Who enemy. cyclamen.
That will both heal your broken heart and protect you from evil.
But there you go.
So there you go.
Works on the cyclamen.
Knotweed. Hold knotweed.
No, pass.
The hand.
Anything is knotweed. No way. Does not weed.
Cannot weed.
Okay. Like, cannot weed.
Like Knuffle Bunny. Cannot weed. So you hold it in the hand you write with, and it absorbs all your pain. You have to imagine that, though. You have to imagine that.
A lot of the most effective medical cures require imagination. Imagining them working.
And then this was my favorite. Pomegranate. Cut a pomegranate in half. Write your first name on a piece of clean white paper. Fold it. Place it between the two halves. Tie it back together and bury it.
Kind of like a cootie catcher. Same principle.
That is not how a cootie catcher works.
I know it's not. It was literary. I took a literary license.
Yeah. And I mean, if any of these sort of like rituals make you feel better, I don't find, other than the like drinking tomato juice, they're not intrinsically harmful, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some sort of like ceremonial letting go of emotions is important.
We're in weird territory, right? Because normally we wouldn't be giving this much of a pass to like stuff that like just doesn't work, but we're in like, right now we're actually talking about an emotional state, right?
This is the crossover. Like for a long time, a broken heart is just, I mean, it's just that, right? It's an emotional thing that happened. It's not a medical condition of any stripe necessarily. I mean, a lot of people go through heartbreak and don't necessarily need any sort of medical help. I'm not going to say that it's impossible you would, mm-hmm. but most of the time you don't. And so these are just sort of like, I don't know. I mean, it's like they're ancient equivalents to eat some ice cream and hang out with your friends. Right. Like it's the same idea.
Right.
They're just,
it's just if you don't have friends, but you do have a lot of tomatoes
and you don't have ice cream, I guess.
Yeah.
I found a broken heart tea recipe.
Delicious.
Yeah. I liked that idea. Here's some tea that will fix your broken heart. It has rose hips and basil and burdock root.
Holy basil mm-hmm. is here.
And something that I assume they sell. I'm not going to give them any. It's another, no, it's some no sort plug. Of, yeah, I'm not going to give them a plug. It's some sort of herbal additive that they sell and then some sugar.
The recipe doesn't say sugar. It says raw sugar or raw honey. So that kind of tells you what kind of recipe we're talking about here.
So there's some tea that will, and here's the thing. I think that if we're talking about the emotional thing, whatever, as long as it's not harmful and you're not losing any money on it, I mean,
go for it. Whatever makes you feel better.
Get a pomegranate. There are. I would advocate though, if you're going to buy a pomegranate, like eat it. They're expensive.
Yeah, the tea thing sounds like it could help. Man, just like sitting with a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Just like enjoying some tea. That sounds like it could actually be very useful for a broken heart.
Sure. Whatever tea.
A metaphorical broken heart.
A metaphorical.
Not a sub-zero shattered broken heart. There's very little that can be done for that.
But can you actually get sick from a broken heart? Can you actually have a medical condition that is called a broken heart? Yes.
Why are you asking me? Oh, thank you for answering before you waited.
It was rhetorical. Yes.
I figured.
This is not an old diagnosis.
Hmm.
No, most of the things we talk about on the show are very ancient. But certainly this could have been happening for hundreds of
One would
of
assume
years.
It was, right?
It, but we didn't
Especially
know.
Especially since people back in the olden days beefed it constantly. It was probably happening even more.
But we didn't know that it was a distinct entity until the 90s. In 1991, there was a paper published in Japan. There were some researchers who detailed what was called Takotsubo's cardiomyopathy.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, someone will have some sort of extreme emotional stressful event. Something will happen to them or around them. And as a result, or some physical stress, it doesn't have to be emotional. It could be physical stress, but emotional is what I think captured the public's imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could also be a physical stress, something like a severe sepsis. You got a really bad infection. And so now your heart is under a physical stress. You know what I mean? So like
nothing romantic about that notion. Though.
No, like, I mean, I don't think it's a big leap to think if you're very sick, it could tax your heart more. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of obvious, or like a trauma, like a physical trauma, that kind of thing. But emotional trauma was a little more interesting, and patients would come to the emergency room and it would sound like they were having a heart attack. They were presenting with the symptoms of a heart attack. I'm having chest pain. I'm having shortness of breath. I feel dizzy. I feel nauseous. I'm sweaty. Just the usual stuff that when we hear, we go, uh-oh, could be a heart attack. Let's do the heart attack stuff, the things we do, the labs we do, the tests we do.
Right.
Let's figure out if this is a heart attack. And they will have, somebody asked us this recently, what's the difference between symptoms and signs? Mm. Symptoms are things that you, the patient, tell me, like I'm dizzy, I'm sweaty, you know, that kind of thing. Although sweating could be a sign too. Signs are things I observe.
Mm.
So like, you're not going to tell me that you're tachycardic.
Right. You would observe that.
I would observe that.
Huh.
But you're going to tell me that you have chest pain. That's
I didn't realize
symptom.
There was a delineation. Mm-hmm.
So we would also find diagnostic indications that a patient could be having a heart attack. So for instance, we do an EKG, electrical tracing of their heart, and find some changes on it that look like a heart attack. We check for something called cardiac enzymes. Usually now it's just something called troponin, which is like something that is in your heart muscle. And if your heart muscle is being damaged, it will get released into your bloodstream. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't find a lot of it in your bloodstream. If we do, we know there's some heart muscle damage going on. So we'll test your blood for that and we'll find it. And it all looks like a heart attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they found these patients that presented just like a heart attack. But the difference is that when they did the stuff to figure out like, oh, where's the blockage? Because that's usually what we think is happening, right? One of the arteries that feed blood to the heart is blocked off. That's a heart attack, because the heart muscle is then being damaged. They would do a cath, cardiac catheterization, inject dye to look in the blood vessels and see where is the blockage. And they wouldn't find anything.
Mm.
They wouldn't find any evidence of a blockage. And that was weird because it looked like they had one
right. In
all other, you know. And so then they started
it's good
doing.
They checked, though, before they started digging around in there.
Well, and that's key. And I'm going to say this multiple times in the show, but that is a very key point about this. Even if you at some point in your life, and hopefully you don't, experience what you think might be, quote unquote, broken heart syndrome, it's still more likely that it's a heart attack and you should go to the ER and tell them immediately. And the ER doctor will do everything that they normally do for a heart attack, which is right and good, because most of the time it's not this.
So if you're thinking to yourself, God, well, my chest really hurts, but I have been really sad about the McRib going away because I eat so many McRibs all the time, constantly, it might actually still be a heart attack.
Yes. I would actually the McRibs.
That was kind of my,
yeah, uh-huh.
That was, uh-huh. It worked on a couple different.
I followed.
MaximumFun.org/donate. That's the kind of thing you can reward.
Anyway, so that so they're going to do all the stuff that they would do for a heart attack, which is good. That is what we should do. That is the protocol, because most of the time it is. But in these cases, they don't find a blockage. So then they started doing in this particular report, they started doing echoes, echocardiograms on these patients, which is like an ultrasound of your heart. They put some jelly on your chest and then they put a little ultrasound wand around and look at your heart while it's beating. They watch it. They watch it beat. And what they found is that the hearts were doing, all these patients were doing, had a very similar appearance of their heart on the echo. And it was an unusual appearance. The left ventricle, which is the part of your heart, the bottom part of your heart that's very muscly and squeezes the blood out to your body. So it's got to be a big, tough muscle, and it squeezes really hard and pumps the blood everywhere out your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very important. This part of the heart in these patients, the bottom of it was ballooning out in a strange fashion.
Hmm.
It was not squeezing like a big, thick muscle should. It was like floppy and weak and ballooning out.
Hmm.
And it was a very distinct appearance that they found in these hearts. So the heart wasn't squeezing like it was supposed to. And then you would get all those symptoms that we talked about. And they started calling it Takotsubo's because the appearance of the heart, this is where this name comes from. I thought this was a fascinating.
I assumed it was history. Someone's name. So
no, it is not.
Needles.
It is not someone's name. It is based on the appearance of the ventricle. And you'd almost have to look up a picture of this to, because I have never seen this thing. It is named for a Japanese octopus pot.
Okay.
It is a kind of pot. I guess it's like a trap that you can like lower. And it looks like from the diagrams, it looks like the octopus just swims into it.
Got him.
And it's a pot. And anyway, it resembled this octopus pot. And so the name Takotsubo is octopus pot. Because that's the appearance of the heart on this imaging study on an echo. It looks like an octopus pot.
So how did they get to the sort of get to the bottom of the whole disorder?
Well, I'm going to tell you about that, Justin.
Oh, yes.
After our break.
Our break. Oh, that's right. There's no billing department.
There's
this
no
week.
Billing department this time.
We're just talking about the Maximum Fun Drive. MaximumFun.org/donate is where you can go. We have a goal this year of 25,000 new and upgrading members. And we are asking that if you enjoy the stuff that we make on the network, you will do your part. As of this recording, we are currently as a network sitting at 7,560 donors. So we need you. We are.
We're counting on you.
We're counting on you. We're not at pace to hit our goal. And we would. It would really mean a lot to keep all our shows going. And it would really mean a lot for you to vote for the kind of content you would like to see in the world. To tell you about some of the other gifts, because that's what we're all really excited about, right? That's what we're all here for. Sid.
Yeah, I mean, the becoming a member will give you that. Every time you listen to the shows that you love, you'll get that warm, fuzzy feeling that you help make this. You are part of the reason this continues to exist in the world and that we're able to do it and hopefully continue to do it better and do more of the stuff you love. But there's also gifts.
But there's also gifts. So we talked about the $5 a month level. It's going to get you the bonus content. For $10 a month, you can get a pen of your choice plus the bonus content. If we do hit that 25,000, those pens will go on sale with profits going to charity, so you can get the other ones if you would like. At $20 a month, there is a 550-piece Maximum Fun puzzle specifically for our members. It's a lovely piece that details the view out of the Maximum Fun offices. And you also get the pin and the bonus content. At $35 a month, you get a mug engraved with the Max Fun rocket ship logo and the puzzle and the pins and the bonus content. And then they go up from there. There's a $50 level with an engraved membership card. $100 a month, you get the Inner Circle, which is the monthly culture club of Max Fun, where Max Fun hosts will send you an item once a month that is important to them, that they love. We've done it once, haven't we? What did we send out to people? Was it the apple? Did we send the apple out?
I think we did.
I don't remember. Sorry if so. I'm not sorry. It's a great film.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful.
And then $200 a month, you get a free registration to Max FunCon 2020. But the important thing here is not that you give $200 a month. You're probably not going to do that. But if you can kick in $5, $10 a month, those donations really add up. It may not seem like a lot to you, or maybe it does. I don't know your financial situation, but it really does. It really does start to stack up. And if you can see your way to donating $5 a month for the content that you listen to here on MaximumFun.org, it really does help us out.
Yeah. And that, again, that the majority of that money goes directly to the shows that you listen to us, the people who make the shows that you listen to, so we can continue to make them and make them better and get better equipment and do all those things that hopefully improve the content and it feeds back to you. It's just it's a feedback loop, we would say.
We would say that.
In science. And I cannot stress enough the bonus content that you can get. You get all of it, first of all. I don't know if we made that clear. You get all the bonus content that we've created for all the years.
Okay, for Sawbones, what do we have? There's
This year we did a Ask Us Anything That's Not Medical episode.
Yes.
We've done an ASMR.
Yes, there's an ASMR episode. It was a commentary track for the series finale of Two and a Half Men, inexplicably.
Yes.
Last year we did a tour of a pharmacy.
Oh, that's right.
Talked about what medicines worked and didn't work. Got mad about homeopathy.
Yeah, yelled about homeopathy in the bonus aisle of Walmart.
Yeah.
But you don't just get the bonus content from Sawbones.
No,
you get the bonus content from all the shows.
You want to hear Sydney play Dungeons and Dragons with her sisters and her mom? You can do that. That was the Still Buffering bonus this year.
It was really fun.
There's all kinds of great stuff. There's videos. There's all kinds of radical content. I want to close by saying, thank you. If you've donated, previously, thank you so much for donating to the network. You support our family by doing that. Like, you help keep our family afloat and clothed and fed. And like, I don't know what could mean more to me than that. And to Sid, I know feels the same way.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you to all of our current members. to all of our new members, to everybody upgrading their membership. And if you're not in a position right now where you can do that, but you want to share that information, tweet about it, talk about it, put it on Facebook, what at MySpace, LiveJournal, whatever, whatever you use, just tell a friend at work over the water cooler.
You could woof it. You
that helps us out too. So thank
woofing
you.
Doesn't. Well, the other ones are
woofing
good.
Doesn't, but the real ones, the actual real ones.
MaximumFun.org/donate is the address. Don't wait because you'll forget. Please go right now. Pledge $5, $10, $20 a month and help keep our shows going. We really appreciate it. So, Sydney, we were about to investigate a little deeper.
So let's talk more about Takotsubo's cardiomyopathy, or also called stress cardiomyopathy, also called apical ballooning syndrome or stress induced cardiomyopathy. All of these are names that a lot of us in the medical world would use.
You guys don't like the drama.
No, we don't like the drama. What caught people's attention from this initial report, which was only 5 patients, it was a pretty small report, what captured everyone's attention was the idea that emotional stress could cause these symptoms. And so the name broken heart syndrome grew from this.
Let me ask you a question, Sid, and I don't mean to derail you, but it's Max Fun Drive, so we can take a little bit longer. What differentiates this phenomena from, like, we know that emotional stimuli can have an effect on like hypertension, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Can be affected by your emotional state, right? So why is it surprising that an emotional state like heartbreak would have a physical effect, since there are other emotional states that can have physical effects?
The acuity was the thing that surprised people, because what we tend to think about is that high stress, an emotional state, a high stress emotional state long term is not good for you, like in a chronic sense is not good for you. But the idea that an acute emotional event would lead to something that looked like an acute cardiac event, like a heart attack.
Like the idea of being scared to death, right?
Exactly.
That could happen.
It's the all at once thing, I think, that was really the surprising part. The idea that chronic stress causes chronic illness, I mean, this is not new. Like, we've investigated this for a long time. But there was never a belief before this that you could all at once become so sad or angry or overwhelmed or stressed or scared or frustrated or whatever that you could actually have a heart attack and maybe actually die. Not usually, certainly, but mm-hmm. possibly. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of research done since those initial findings in 91, where we've tried to figure out, like, how prevalent is this? Has this been happening for a long time? Are a lot of heart attacks that are what looks like heart attacks really from this? Initially, the research suggested it was about 1%. There's some other studies who've argued that it might be a little higher, 2%, as high as 5. But most agree that it's probably a 1 or 2% of acute heart attacks are actually this. So not 1% of people, 1% of people who come and it looks like they have a heart attack are actually presenting with this Takotsubo's or broken heart syndrome. We also know a lot more about who is at risk for this. It turns out, depending on which series you look at, 80 to 90% of patients are women.
Hmm.
So in some of the studies, it was 100% a female problem. And then the average age is somewhere between 61 and 76. So it seems to be the most likely to have this issue are older women, but it could be men, certainly, and it could be younger. It was initially thought that it's always transient, meaning that you have these symptoms, your EKG looks like this, your echo looks like this, we find these things in your bloodstream, and you get really sick, and then you get better, and then your heart goes back to normal. And then it pumps just fine. That was our initial thought, is that it's kind of interesting in that you can have a broken heart and then it gets better and you're fine. And it seems that is still usually the case. However, what we have learned there are numerous studies that have been done on this phenomenon since then, I think in part because it's very interesting. It's it's captured a lot of imaginations. And then also because we don't understand it well yet. And so we got to keep studying it till we know it better. But there are cases that have led to complications severe complications, and then recurrence. We've seen it come back again later, so to speak. In some rare patients, it has resulted in death. There have been patients who go into cardiogenic shock. Basically, their heart just cannot pump, which is bad, or have some sort of arrhythmia, some sort of abnormal heart rhythm that can result in death. So while, yes, it is possible that somebody can die of broken heart syndrome, so I guess in your parlance, die of a broken heart.
Wow, that pained you.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't want to make it sound more sensational than it is. Most of the time, Takotsubo's cardiomyopathy is something that can get better. There's been some argument with what we should do long term for this. Like, do these patients need to be treated like a heart failure patient would? Because somebody who's been diagnosed with heart failure, we put on certain medications and they have to take them forever. And some of the evidence has said yes. Some of the evidence is still maybe, we're not sure yet. Maybe not harmful, but we don't know if it helps. We know that patients who, as a result of this, get like clots and things should be treated with blood thinners. But the management is still very questionable. And in part, it's because we don't know why. Why does it happen?
I don't know.
We still don't completely understand that. There's definitely what we call sympathetic activation. Your sympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for the fight or flight response. Definitely that's happening, right? You've been hit with some sort of intense emotion. And your body, I mean, it's the stuff that you would feel, like your heart speeds up and mm-hmm. you breathe faster and you feel sweaty and anxious and like you need to run somewhere or punch somebody, all that stuff that happens. And so we know that that's part of it. But like there have been other studies that have said maybe it's not just circulating stress hormones. Maybe it has something to do with inflammation. There were some patients that looked like they were having multiple vessel spasms, meaning like the coronary arteries, the arteries to your heart weren't blocked, but they were squeezing like they were like a muscle spasm. They were spasming shut temporarily and then opening it up, but multiple vessels, which is weird. So there have been a lot of different studies to look at why, and nobody is 100% sure that we have a blanket reason for all cases yet.
Okay.
There have been a lot of different sources of stress blamed, and it's mostly negative. I thought this was very interesting. Most of the cases where this happened, it was something negative that happened. Like there were a lot of people either like got bad news, like the death of a loved one is a very common event, the precipitating event. But then there was one that said like an earthquake happened and there were a lot of cases of this after following this earthquake. So like a natural disaster, something like that, that seems very obvious. In rare cases, it seems that a happy event actually precipitated the Takotsubos.
Really?
Yes. So they have found in 2016, the European Heart Journal published a study called Happy Heart Syndrome, Role of Positive Emotional Stress in Takotsubo Syndrome. And basically, their argument is they went back and looked at tons of patients who presented with Takotsubo's cardiomyopathy. They narrowed it down to just the 485 that had like definable emotional triggers. Like so they could, based on their record, they could say this happened and then these symptoms happened. They could name it. And of those, 20 actually cited a positive event. Something happened to them that was a good thing. So then I had to know. I have a list of things that happened. There were only 20 patients,
yes,
so I had
please.
To look. So here are some examples. A birthday party, wedding.
Okay.
A wedding was on there a couple times. Meeting friends from high school 50 years later. Wedding anniversaries, positive job interviews, favorite oh driver, God. Won a race car competition.
Sydney, so you're trying to freak people out about being too happy?
I'm not trying to freak him out. I just thought this was very interesting.
What
surprise
are you
parties are on here. A lot of birthday parties.
So you're saying we want the drive to go good, but not too good.
Celebration of normal PET CT scan.
Oh my God, Sydney.
Visiting with your grandchildren. Your favorite rugby team won. Anyway, so there were these these events that are pleasant, happy events.
Yeah, they just broke people.
But
they
came
their
in
hearts.
with stress induced cardiomyopathy.
What have you done?
I'm sorry. It's just, it's not me. Science did it. It's just true. It's just the human body. And this makes sense. We've always kind of thought that positive emotions, like we have all these studies that say like a positive outlook is associated with longer life and mm-hmm. decreased mortality. Like we have some evidence that being happy and having good things, is associated with good health outcomes. But then this sort of made sense because the authors of the study pointed out that there is something that we can use to rate stressful life events. Did you know there was a scale of stressful life events?
I did know this actually, but just because I've had to do that for like therapy and stuff before.
And so they have the
moving is very changing jobs, death of a loved one, mm-hmm. stuff like that is all very.
In 1967, two researchers went through tons of records, Thomas Holmes and Richard Ray, and found that there was a correlation between negative health outcomes and very stressful life events. They came up with a list of the most stressful life events and like gave them each a score. And then you could add up your score. Did any of these happen to you in the last year? Add up your score. And if it was so high, they could predict that you're probably going to end up in the hospital in the next year with some sort of medical problem, right? Right. The social readjustment rating scale. It's interesting if you ever want to check it out. It's an interesting thing to look at. But among the most stressful events that can occur to you are number 10 on the list is retirement. Which is not, I mean, like, it seems like it should be an overall. I know there are negatives, but overall a good thing. And number 7 is actually your marriage. Which it's
like marriage.
Marriage. Getting married is the number 7 most stressful life event. And if you go further down the list, you'll still find positive events. Like vacation is on the list of a stressful life event.
Oh my God. Well, it can't be stressful, I guess, preparing for that.
Christmas coming soon was a stressful life event. An outstanding personal achievement was a stressful life.
Great.
So if you think about it, it makes sense that if stress causes illness and good stress causes illness, that a really intense, good thing might lead to Takotsubo's.
Everybody should just be shooting for like the blandest life possible, right? Milked it. No. Nothing too good, nothing too bad, right down the middle.
There's still, so how... I don't think any researcher at this point could give you an idea of like how happy or how sad you can be before this happens. Right. I don't think anybody could give you that or to know. I mean, we know some risk, there seems to be a gender discrepancy and an age discrepancy in terms of who's at risk. Obviously, you would think people with prior cardiac problems are more at risk for this. It's not always necessarily true.
It could be anyone at any time, happy or sad.
It's extremely rare.
That's something.
It's extremely rare. Something. Yes. But I guess if in the poetic sense, is it possible to die of a broken heart? Apparently it is. It's extremely rare and unlikely.
Or getting, again, I just want to clarify in case anybody missed the context, possible to die of a broken heart or from getting mildly happy about your pet's CT scan.
Yes.
Or a rugby team winning, or your favorite Dick Trickle crosses the line first,
pet,
and I'm dying because I'm so happy I die because I'm so happy about Dick Trickle winning the NASCAR race.
Wait, I want to clarify something. When I said pet CT scan, that a PET pet scan is a certain. It's not your pet, not like an animal.
Okay, all right.
Sorry,
fair.
I just wanted to clarify.
That was certain confusing to literally everyone listening.
I'm sorry,
except
that's
you five medical nerds.
There's a CT scan. There's a PET scan. This was a PET CT. It's a combo. Anyway, this is a specific kind of scan, an imaging study.
But I'm right about Dick Trickle winning a race and it killing me because I'm so thrilled.
Well, I don't know that it was Dick Trickle, but you know. Again, and
if
and
I'm going to name a specific NASCAR driver, it's always going to be Dick Trickle 100% of the time.
And again, even if you have this, it's very unlikely that you would die.
Good. Well, that's something. Good job, Sid. Good.
But here would be my practical advice to you. It would be that if you have chest pain, go to the hospital immediately.
Sure. Easy.
Yeah. That would be the practical advice. And in the meantime, I did find that some scientists have researched how to cure a broken heart, an emotionally broken heart, like in the the euphemistic broken heart.
Okay.
I found a study where they were trying to figure out if somebody is experiencing very negative emotions as a result of heartbreak, as a result of like a lost relationship. Some of it was like grieving a lost loved one, but a lot of it had to do with like a breakup. Mm-hmm. What could you do? Is there a medicine for that?
Is there?
Well, so they did the studies on prairie voles who were described in the article as being famously monogamous, which I feel very bad that I didn't know that prairie voles were famously monogamous, because that seems like I don't know what celebrities are dating who or the YouTubers, but I feel like I should have known that prairie voles were famously monogamous.
Well, if they're famously monogamous, one would assume that we would know about this.
Prairie voles are famously monogamous.
Thank you.
What they did is they found that because they mate forever. They find a partner and they are with them until one of them dies, and then they grieve the death of the partner vole.
Okay.
And so they were able to make the voles drop their lifelong partner.
Okay.
And start kind of playing the field and dating other voles by blocking either dopamine or oxytocin chemicals in their brain. So they were able to use medications to block these hormones, and they kind of severed these lifelong attachments.
We are very pro science here on Sawbones, but Sydney, if I could just take a minute to interrupt your glee, y'all are wild. These happy rats are just scooting around together in their little tiny rocking chairs. And you're like, I bet we could break them up with science. And another one's like, yes, do it. Oh my God, it's the best idea for all day. Let's break them up with science.
Now, it's temporary though, because once you stop the medicine, then it comes back.
Okay, it's temporary. Well, let's hope they don't have any trouble finding each other, because they're little voles. They probably live for like a week. Y'all are wild.
They also found that they could block another hormone, corticotropin releasing factor. The important thing is that they were able to stop grief in a vole who had lost its mate.
Because they broke it up with chemicals and it ran into a lawnmower. No,
this was in the case of like the death of a mate. They were able to stop the grief that they felt, like in a sense, and the question was, could this be a cure for unrequited love or for heartbreak? Now, all the scientists who did this said, we are not proposing we do any of this. It was more of a theoretical.
We had a weekend to kill and a bunch of rats to break up.
What are the hormones responsible for lust, love, attachment, you know, heartbreak? Is there a way to, I mean, this, it was more of a hypothetical thing, because you don't want to tamper too much with a lot of these
vole relationships.
Well, yeah. And also, like, they made the point that if you tamper too much with oxytocin, you might prevent somebody from forming any relationships. I don't know. It was a little Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind for me.
Just a touch.
Yeah. So and the scientists agreed with that. So nobody is proposing any of this, but I thought it was a very interesting effort to try to cure a broken heart right now. I don't think there is a better cure than time, exercise, drink a lot of water, get plenty of sleep, spend time with the people you love, and get hugs. Physical contact with other humans, like a nice pat on the back or handshake or hug, was found to be helpful in helping somebody heal from a heartbreak kind of thing. And take care of yourself and get back out there when you're ready. I mean, I think that still holds true as the best advice.
You know, one thing that I've always read is really good is donating money to organizations that you care about. For getting over a broken heart. And what better organization than scientists breaking up voles since the beginning of time? Just kidding. The Maximum Fun Network.
Donate to this scientist.
Scientists of this one specific scientist who has never broken up voles in her entire life.
I've never done this. I wouldn't.
MaximumFun.org/donate is the address. This drive is only going for... this is the end of week one. Like I said, we're behind where we would like to be, and you could be the hero that turns that around for us. Please tweet at us with the Max Fun Drive hashtag if you're a new or upgrading donor, so somebody can thank you personally. I should have mentioned that those gifts are for new or upgrading donors. If you're currently a $5 donor and you want the pins or the bonus content, well, the bonus content you have regardless. But if you want the pins, you got to upgrade to $10. If you're at $10 and you want the pins, you got to upgrade to $20. So you get the puzzle and the pins and everything. That's just a way of thanking people who are increasing their goals and increasing their donations. And it really does mean so much to us.
And it is. Some people have asked, is it a one-time donation count, or does it have to be a recurring monthly donation? And it does. Please join us and be a member in a recurring donation is what we are asking for in order for you to get those cool presents.
Cool presents, cool network that really needs your help. It would just mean so much to us. So please, if you're a Sawbones listener, I mean, you've enjoyed the stuff that we've made, you know, you spend you know, 13, 15 bucks a month on Netflix, whatever it is now, or Hulu or magazines, or probably not magazines. I mean, because it is 2019, but you know, you spend money on other stuff. If you could spend money on our show, we would just really appreciate it.
We would really appreciate it. And we would also really appreciate that if you ever have chest pain, please go directly to a hospital.
Great. Perfect. That is going to do it for us for this week. Thanks to taxpayers for the use of our song Medicines at the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. You're the tops. So until next week, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.